What a holy, wonderful thing that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What is the best-selling song of all time worldwide? The best-selling song of all time worldwide. Is it a song by the Beatles? No. A song by Elvis Presley? Justin Bieber? Nope. It was a Christmas song recorded in 1942 by Bing Crosby. Anybody know that song? I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas. 50 million copies sold worldwide. Well over 100 million copies sold if you include all the artists and the different versions of the song. It's a beautiful song. It's a wonderful song. Well, tonight, I want to speak to you about a white Christmas, not a snowy Christmas like we all wish we had. We might get in a couple days. A different kind of white. Look at this amazing verse that we have in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." I think that's a beautiful verse to consider here on Christmas Eve. It sort of has a Christmassy feel to it, the white of snow imagery. And I want you to notice a few details about this very beautiful verse. Notice first that this is an invitation from the Lord. Come now, says the Lord. This is the Lord inviting us. He's saying, come to me. I love our God. He's an inviting God. He's the God of invitations. In fact, there are many beautiful invitations from the Lord to us recorded in Scripture. I think of Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I love that. Come to me, I'll give you the rest you're looking for. I'll give you peace. Jeremiah 33, the Lord says, call to me and I'll show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Of course, all of the little children are called to come to Jesus. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Kids, listen. Kids, listen. Jesus loves you. And he cares so much for you. And he says, come to me. Come to me. I think of when Jesus walked on the water on the Sea of Galilee, and he comes to the boat, and Peter says, if you're the Lord, call me out. And Jesus says, come. And Peter got out and walked on the water for a while. This is the invitation of the Lord. He says, come to me. I'll give you rest. I'll do things in your life that you can't even believe. I'll add a supernatural quality to your life. Come to me. I love that about God. He's the initiator. God doesn't just wait around hoping for you to discover him. He doesn't hide himself hoping that by chance one day you might stumble across him. God doesn't play hide and seek with us where he hides and we have to seek. Quite to the contrary, Jesus said, I've come to seek you. We have a God who proactively reaches out to us, who is constantly trying to get our attention. Come to me, he says over and over. Maybe he's been trying to get your attention for many years. He's been calling you. Maybe he's been doing so recently through a conversation with a friend, or maybe a song that you heard on the radio. Or maybe a blessing that just came into your life and you know it had to come from the Lord. Or maybe the Lord has allowed a difficulty in your life. Maybe you're going through a painful time. Maybe you're sort of backed in the corner, even on your back looking up. And that's God saying, look up, come to me. I invite you. God's an inviter. And then notice what he invites us to. I love this. He says, come now and let us, what? Reason together. I love that. God says to us, let's have a sit down. Let's have a meaningful, rational, reasonable conversation together. The Lord says, think with me. Consider me. Consider who I am, what I've done, and what I can do for you. And I love that because here we see God appealing to reason instead of emotion. You know, there's a lot of people that believe that faith is a matter of feeling and emotion. It's something that you just feel. And many people think that when you come to church, you check your brains at the door. That it's not an intellectual thing. I've even heard people say, don't ask questions. Don't try to figure it out. Don't ask why. Just believe, man. Just feel it. I want you to know tonight that God wouldn't say that to you. The Lord wouldn't say, just feel it. The Lord would say, you need to know what you're supposed to believe and why before you do it. The Lord would say, come, let's reason. Let's talk. You have questions? Come to me. Let's talk. Let's think through it. It's beautiful. You know, the Christian faith is a reasonable faith. It's not based on emotion. It's an objective faith based on historical facts. Tonight, we've gathered to celebrate an actual birth that took place in history, right? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born. Jesus Christ lived. Jesus Christ went to the cross. Jesus Christ died. And I believe history is absolutely proved that Jesus rose from the dead on that third day. It's reasonable. It's not subjective. Now, I tell you one thing. It can be very emotional. I promise you, if you open your life to Jesus Christ, if you ask him to be your Savior, he will blow your mind. When you begin to experience the presence of the living God in your life, it can be very emotional. Jesus said you'll become born again. You can be packed full of emotions like you've never felt before, knowing the burden of your sin being lifted, knowing the Almighty God. But listen, it's not based on feelings. The Lord says, come to me, I invite you, let's sit down and let's talk. Let's reason it out. And here in this verse, we see God making an offer to us. It's like he has us sit down at the table and says, we want to sign a contract together tonight. I have a deal for you, and it's a deal too good to refuse. He says, sit down, think with me, I want to do something for you. He says, first of all, let it be known that I realize you have a problem. You have sin in your life. It says there, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, though they are red like crimson. That's what God says your problem is. He says, come to me, sit down. You have a sin problem, and you need to know that from the front cover to the back cover in the Bible, that is the truth. The truth is that the biggest problem with the human race is sin. We're all born with a sinful nature. We all commit sin. We sin in thought, we sin in speech, we sin in deed. It's making wrong choices, it's doing the wrong things, and that's why we have ugliness in this world. That's why we have war and broken relationships and crime and drug abuse and all of the garbage that you see in this world. It's because we're sinners. It is the plague of the human race. and understand that sin absolutely separates us from God, because God is holy. He is without sin. And the imagery being used here is that of a stain. An indelible stain of sin imprinted on the soul of every human being. God says, that's your problem. When it says your sins are like scarlet, it's speaking of a very potent, powerful red dye. In fact, I discovered that this is a dye that they would produce from a specific species of worms that they would crush. Isn't that gross? Merry Christmas. A whole bucket of worms that you grind up and you smush and you turn it into this red dye. And you paint that red dye on a white piece of cloth. That kind of a stain. It says your sins are red like crimson. It's speaking of a white cloth that was dyed in that kind of a dye, a crimson red. And the Hebrew even suggests dyed twice, double dyed. So the imagery is of a stain that's not coming out. It's there, you can't get it out, like red enchilada sauce on your white dress shirt, right? It's not coming out. God would say, that is the problem with us. Sit down. I know what your problem is. You have this stain, this indelible stain of sin upon your life. And there is absolutely nothing, nothing that you can do to get rid of it. It will not go away on your own effort. That's your problem. But here's the deal. I'll make you white as snow. I'll wash all of your sin. Your sins are like scars, but I'll make it white as snow. He would say to us tonight, let me do for you what you are unable to do for yourself. Let me wash away all the sin in your life. Beautiful. And he can do that. How in the world is God able to remove that stain? Well, Christmas. Or I should say, it all began at Christmas. God sent his son into the world, the Savior, the rescuer. The stain remover. Jesus was born to take away the sins of the world. Understand something about sin. Sin doesn't just go away by itself. You don't sweep it under the carpet. All sin, according to the Bible, must absolutely be punished. It must be paid for. We have all sinned. We deserve to be punished for our sin. We deserve to pay the price. But the wonderful story of Christmas is that God says, if a perfect, sinless, innocent one were willing to come into this world and die for the sinful ones, take the sins of the sinful ones upon himself and die in the place of the sinners, then the sinners can go free. And do you understand that's what Christ did? Tonight we celebrate his birth. The awe of the Christmas story. God becoming man. God becoming a baby. Born in Bethlehem. Born in a barn. Wrapped in swaddling clothes. Laid in a manger. But that was just the beginning. Jesus would grow up. Jesus would live a perfect life. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would choose, would volunteer to go to the cross and take my sins upon him and your sins upon him and die in our place. He did that. It's the greatest sacrifice. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Because Jesus shed his blood on the cross, all of our sins may be forgiven. You know, the blood of Christ is the most powerful detergent in the universe. It washes away all sin, even the vilest of sin. I want you to understand something tonight very, very clearly. We like white, we like purity, but please understand tonight that from God's perspective, you need red to get white. You can't have white without red. You can't have purity, you can't have forgiveness, you can't have the snowfall of forgiveness unless blood has been shed. Christ shed his blood for me, for you, for all of us. He saved us. If you give your heart to Christ, all of your sins will be washed away. He will take away all the stain. You will become born again. You will become brand new. You will become a child of God. There's a pastor who wrote about an experience his family had one Christmas Eve. He writes, "One Christmas we had a tree which we trimmed on Christmas Eve. The whole lighting effect was to be accomplished with red bulbs. And when our work was finally done, we turned out all the other lights in the room so that the bulbs on the tree should give out the only illumination. We saw a startling thing. Near the base of the tree was a poinsettia plant, having some red flowers and some white ones. When the other lights were turned out and the red lights were turned on, it was absolutely impossible to determine which of the poinsettia flowers had red petals and which had white. They were all white in the red light." And that is a perfect illustration of what happens to our sins when they are washed in the blood of Christ. They may be as scarlet, but when the red of Christ's shed blood is applied, they become as white as snow. A deal too good to refuse. The Son of God says, "Come to me. Let's talk about your problem. I can make it go away. I can wash all your sins away. Will you take it?" See, the Lord has done everything. There's only one thing he won't do. He won't force his offer on you. He won't force you to take the deal. The Bible says that Jesus stands at the door of our heart, knocking. He doesn't come with a bulldozer, trying to bulldoze it down. There isn't even a doorknob on the outside. There's only a doorknob on the inside. He patiently knocks and he says, "Here I am. Come to me. I'll change you forever. Open the door." Will you open the door tonight? Will you ask Christ to be your Savior? Do you understand the meaning of Christmas? There are big consequences. The next two verses, very quickly. Verse 19 says, "If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Here's the deal. Here's the offer. Take it. Good things for your life. You'll be saved. All of your sins will be forgiven. If you refuse, then you stay in your sin. You'll pay for your own sin. Oh, my friend, choose to receive Christ tonight. He will bless your life. He will save you. He will change you. All your sins will be forgiven. Someone said Christmas means that he, Jesus, descended that we might ascend. He became poor that we might become rich. He was born that we might be born again. He became a servant that we might become sons. He had no home that we might have a home in heaven. He was hungry that we might be fed. He was thirsty that we might be satisfied. He was stripped that we might be clothed. He was forsaken that we might not be forsaken. He was sad that we might be glad. He was bound that we might go free. He was made sin that we might be made righteous. He died that we might live. He came down that we might be caught up. Don't miss it. Don't miss the ultimate gift. Perhaps the Lord is telling you tonight, right here at this Christmas Eve service, come now. Come now. Come to me. I'll wash away all your sins. I'll change your life. Let's have a few moments of silence. I'd like every head in this room to be bowed, every eyes closed. We're going to turn off all the lights. The choir and the band is going to quietly walk up here. May it be real still and quiet. Right now, just like that night long ago in Bethlehem. Just a peaceful, quiet night, the Son of God being born into the world. I want to ask you tonight, has the Son been born into your life? Have you received Christ? Have you received him? I can't think of any better time to do it than right now, right here. The Lord says, come now. You say, well, how do I have all my sins washed away? Receive Christ. Invite him into your life. And you do that with a prayer. It's just a cry out, really, of your heart. You just literally cry out to God. You say, God, save me. And I'd like to lead you in that prayer right now. If you've never done that and you want to make sure right now, right where you're sitting in the quietness of your heart, invite Jesus right now to be your Savior. Pray this prayer. Say, Jesus, be my Savior. I'm taking the offer. I admit that I am a sinner and I need all my sins washed away. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, for paying the price for me. Come into my life, be my Lord, make me your child. Fill me with your spirit. Help me walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.